Hi, my name's Ilse. This is the Geordie Migrant podcast. Thank you for listening. Hey, so I got a dog. I'm not entirely sure why we got a dog. Well, I do really, because he was very cute and he was very wet and he was abandoned in a car park and he was very cute and he was very wet and he looked like a pudding. And I took him home. I left the other 7 puppies in the car park because they weren't as cute, although they were as wet. When we went back the next day to check on them, they had all gone. So I'm hoping that they've all gone to a nice home somewhere. That's what I like to think. So that was on Valentine's Day of this year. So he is 7 months old now. He's looking every day more and more like a German Shepherd type dog. He does have floppy ears though, and he is a menace. We got stuck on his name initially, and we weren't entirely sure what to call him, so we called him Doofy, or Doofius. Doofus, as his exact title is. And I think at this point that he may be a self-fulfilling prophecy. There's a lot of things that he's done which would confirm that he is actually an idiot. The most recent one, I must admit, doesn't necessarily put me in a great light either. He was acting like a complete menace. He got me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He was running around in circles. He was generally just barking, being just awful. Which is quite normal, I think, for a puppy of his age. And by 5:30, I was just like, I can't cope with this anymore. You, my little boy, are coming out in the car and we're going to go for a walk. So we went for a walk where I normally take him, which is an old abandoned road in Brunei. There's a few old abandoned roads that were started, then weren't finished. So these roads are sometimes where people go jogging or mountain biking or walking their dogs. So at the crack, literally the crack of dawn, it was like 6:02 or whatever when we got out of the car, and it was just starting to get light and it was beautiful. Like, it was really beautiful. And, you know, he has generally a good grasp of command. So he'll come when you tell him to come, etc. So he's allowed off leash. So it was really early in the morning, he's allowed off leash. So we've been walking for about, I don't know, about 45 minutes, and we came across a pack of monkeys, and I was just like, oh, I can't be dealing with monkeys at this time in the morning, so we turned back. So what we do is we will walk into the jungle for a certain amount of time, and then we'll turn back around and go back out the same way we came out. So we were coming up to a junction where I knew that, you know, there were the likelihood of people and bikers and whatever. So I went to try and leash him, and he refused to come off leash, and he did that thing that puppies do when they when they get overly excitable, they kind of run around in circles. So he was like literally running around in circles, and I was just like, oh, Doofy. And I was going into my bag to get some treats to try and entice him back, and he was running around, jumping through the long grass. And then suddenly I hear a yelp and a splash. So I drop my bag and I head through the long grass, and I see what can only be described as a concrete hole in the middle of the grass. So what this is there's lampposts that have been fitted, but had never been fitted with electricity. So these really, it's about 2 meters by 1 meter, and I wasn't entirely sure how deep it was at the time. Holes, concrete holes, I think, are so like the electricity pipes and stuff can go through. So my dog is at the bottom of this hole, like kind of doggy paddling, because the water's too deep for him to stand up. And thankfully, because otherwise he would have broke his legs with the fall, he's quite far down, you know. So I Lara Croft myself to the sides. So I wedge myself in, shimmy down the walls a little bit, reach down. I'm able to grab him by the collar and pull him out so he's not struggling anymore. But I'm about, I don't know, maybe a foot down this hole at the moment, like, from, and I don't have the strength to pull him up. So I'm like, oh no, well, okay, what am I going to do? So I drop the dog back into the hole. So he starts panicking and doggy paddling again. And I jump out the hole, look around quickly, find a stick, throw a stick in. The dog's like, why are you throwing me a stick? This is ridiculous. I'm not obviously going to play catch at this point. For me, that was to try and determine depth. I'd like to say that there was some thoughts going on here, but I saw my dog drowning and I thought, I need to save my dog. I threw the stick in and thought, okay, let's jump. And then I went in. So I hadn't really think about what was going to happen or what I was jumping into or anything. I was just thinking my dog's drowning, you know. So I jump in. Thankfully, the water's like just below boob height, so just above waist height. I grab this dog. This dog is 22 kilos. German Shepherd type dog, a police dog if you don't know what that is, who's really scared, who doesn't like water at this point. So he scrambles on top of me, tries to like sit on my shoulder at this point. And when I went in, I was thinking, well, maybe because I could see the bottom was slightly wider than the top, I thought maybe it's a tunnel. And I knew that there was another similar kind of hole about 20 meters away. And I thought maybe they're connected. Maybe there's a tunnel that goes underneath. And I knew there was ladders coming out this other hole. So I thought, okay, it'll be okay. I jumped down there. It's a box. I'm literally in a box. And it's about 3 meters deep. So it's about twice the height of me. I'm 5'3" or 160 centimeters tall for metric people. And I'm thinking, oh no. Oh no. Oh no, 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 no. And there's piping. There's like these kind of pipes that are all in the bottom. Thankfully, I mean, I'm at the bottom. The water's kind of murky, but it had rained a lot the night before. So it didn't smell or anything. It was okay. Like, it wasn't stagnant. It was okay. And it was kind of warm as well because, you know, Brunei rainfall is quite warm and, you know, it's quite a warm place to be. Underneath, it had like an underhang, so I put my head underneath, and thankfully there was like a bracket, so the dog was able to put his front paws and his very sorrowful head on this bracket. I did worry that, you know, it was going to fall off the wall at one point, but it didn't. But when I jumped down there, I had kind of had this vision in my head that I'd get a hold of this dog, there'd be some way of getting out of this hole. Like, I'd throw him over my shoulder, I'd scale the walls like a ninja. This is despite having a little bit of body strength of an armless squirrel, and like all the coordination of a dyspraxic dinosaur, but clearly having all of the misplaced self-confidence of Donald Trump at this point. And so I'm kind of stuck, and I'm like, oh shit. It was only when I got down there, I was like, oh, what happens if there's like things down here? Like, I don't know why I went to bees first. It was always bees. Like, what am I going to do if I get attacked by bees? I don't know why there'd be bees three meters down. There was one fly thing that I wasn't very happy about. It wasn't there. And I was just like, I kept trying to flick it with my hat. I was talking to the dog, and then I'm sitting, the dog's like, you didn't bring your phone, did you? And I'm like, no, my phone's in my bag, which is at the top of the hall. It is 6:45 in the morning, so thankfully, like, it's the morning, so I know there's going to be like sunshine for, you know, a good 12 hours, so I'm not going to be in the dark. I think I would have freaked out properly if I was in the dark. And I'm stuck, and then I suddenly thought, snakes, oh my god, what happens if there's snakes? So I pick up the stick that I threw in. So I've got the dog under one arm, trying to sit on my shoulder and my head, and a stick in my left hand, thinking, well, there's nothing I can do with the left hand. There's nothing I can do with a left-handed stick. Like, what am I going to do, try and stab it? That's not going to work. Which made me laugh a lot, which realised that I wasn't going to get rescued if I was going to laugh a lot. I realised that Jason would be around too. He would realise that I'd gone missing because he was still in bed, but I also knew that he was supposed to go surfing. So I was like, okay, please, like, don't go surfing straight away. Realise I'm missing, come look for me. And my bag was on the trail. My bag's bright red. And my van was parked at the entrance to the trail, so I wasn't too worried about not getting found. tried very hard not to think about snakes though. And I sang. I thought, well, how do people survive things like this? Well, they talk and they sing and they generally try and get on with it. So I sang various renditions of Angels by Robbie Williams. I sang Help by the Beatles. I shouted Help a lot and then realised that was ridiculous because it just stopped sounding like Help after a while. I dug deep and thought, okay, what would Mallory Archer do at this point? And I thought, okay, what she would do is she would pile all the pipes on top of each other and try and like hook the dog out because, you know, the dog could like grab his little paws on the top and jump out and be like Lassie and go like alert people that, you know, I was stuck down the well. I mean, Brennan's pretty afraid of dogs, so probably wasn't going to work, but I did try and he did kick me in the face. So it didn't work. So I was like, okay. So I just kept singing. At one point I did get really frustrated. I'm tired. The dog's heavy. He keeps kicking me and scratching me because he's moving around. Then he drops into the water and then he freaks out and then he clams up. So I'm like covered in scratches by this point. And I let out this kind of just frustrated scream. And then I think Elsa, people aren't going to come rescue you, you know, if you're going to be screaming in the middle of the jungle. Because, you know, they're going to think it's a Blair Witch or something and they're not going to run towards you at all, which made me laugh, which made me sound like ridiculous. Then about kind of two and three quarter hours after I jumped in the hall, I heard voices and it was honestly the nicest sound I've ever heard. And I'm like, hello, I'm down here, I'm in a well, I'm down here in a hall. And I could hear like, just kind of chattering and whatnot. And I'm like, I'm here, come rescue me. And these three faces kind of peer over the top. These three Brennan men's faces peer over the top of the hall to a scene that isn't, you know, not unlike The Silence of the Lambs, where she's clutching the dog down the hall with Buffalo Bill's peering down on top of it. And I'm like, hiya. And they're like, how did you get down there? I'm like, I jumped to save my dog. I saved the dog. They're like, is that your dog? I'm like, clearly I'm not going to jump in a hole to save somebody else's dog. That would be stupid. I was like, can you please call Bomber to come and get me out? Bomber's the fire brigade. And they're always rescuing people from stupid situations. And they're like, no, we think we can get you out. By which time the dog starts growling and barking. And I'm like, honestly, you've been quiet for 2.5 hours now. Now is not the time to start barking. So they're like, oh, is your dog friendly? And I'm like, I can't guarantee that he will be because he's scared, you know. So they phone Jason, my husband, who has sent me a couple of text messages to try and look for me, but obviously I don't answer my phone, well, ever, to be honest. I'm notoriously bad at answering my phone. So on the third attempt, like, he's like, something's wrong, I'm coming looking for you. So he's driving to where he knew I was walking the dog, and he gets this phone call like, hello, we have your wife, she's down a hall next to the Empire. So he thinks I've been kidnapped. So he demands to speak to me, and I'm like, hiya, I'm down a hall with a dog. And he's just like, you're ridiculous. I was like, bring your bike, because then you can get here and deal with the dog, you know. So 15 minutes later, he arrives. We try and ring the school, because we knew, like, the head of security might be able to help, but it's a school holiday, so nobody's answering the phone. So Jason turns up, like, 15 minutes later, to which point I'm like, oh, shit, I should ask you to bring a ladder and not a bike, right? And he's like, well, I'll put the bike down. I'm like, oh, what am I supposed to do with the bike? So we leash the dog. He leashes the dog. He pulls the dog by the leash where I lift him up. He kicks me in the face again. And the three mountain bikers come and reach down, bless their hearts, grab me by the wrists. I walk up the walls like some kind of terrible, terrible Lara Croft. And just, I remember getting, like, I was, like, 2 inches from the top, and I'm trying desperately hard to get my foot over, and I'm like, I can't get my foot over. And then when I finally did, I just kind of flopped on their feet, like, I don't know, like some kind of beach whale or a fish or something. It was rather unladylike. I look up to them, I'm just like, oh, my gosh, thank you so much. And Jason, the first thing he says is, you should keep the dog on the leash, you know. And I'm like, this is not the time. And then, yeah, we walk the 15 minutes back to the car, and it's okay. Everything's okay.